The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
And welcome into the Wednesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We've got a loaded show here today. Lots to get to from the Nashville Predators game last night. Another win for the Preds. We'll talk about that here coming up in just a few minutes. Dana O'Neill from The Athletic will join us at 7:30 to get into the latest with the NCAA tournament and look ahead to Sweet 16 weekend coming up as well. We'll do that at 7:30. The choice is yours at 7:45. Matt Duchesne drops by at 8:45 for his weekly visit. And then Adam Vingan from The Athletic at 9:30. So a lot to get to today here on the show. And we'll take your reaction all show long and your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rex Road is up and at him this morning. How we doing?
We got to get Porth out of the – oh, is this mic on? Oh, shoot. I'm sorry.
Dang, you gotta get Porth out.
See, I had this plan as a joke, and I forgot, but you had the good joke about me.
I know. I really just threw you off there, didn't I?
Gosh, sorry, buddy. I would have delivered it better, but yeah, the alarm worked today, so we're back on the train.
I was about to say, good to see that you're here at 6 a.m. this morning.
It's fine. It's
all fair. Coming in again off the top rope.
It's all fair. It's all fine.
Did you actually set your alarm last night?
Wow. Well, I always – yeah, I did. I mean, I had the right time the night before. Didn't push it to green, apparently. By the way, I thought about this later yesterday. Did you guys – I saw these – you know, you guys sent me all these funny gifts of someone, like, knocking on the door and wake up. Did anybody try to call me?
Oh, yeah.
We called you, like, four times.
Dang. Okay. All right.
Did you not notice the number four on your little phone icon?
I guess I could have actually looked at that, too. All right. Sorry. Anyway.
I mean Ryan Porth.
You know, I had this great idea yesterday afternoon that I didn't quite get around to last night of – recording myself on my phone, setting alarms, and then sending the video to you, Joe, as a reminder. Hey, set your alarm for tomorrow morning.
Like a how-to video kind of thing?
Yes.
Yeah.
Ryan Porth just permanently hanging out on the top roof, ready to pounce at all times.
Hey, you know what? Sometimes you're the gazelle and sometimes you're the lion.
That's right. You're exactly right.
And today I'm the gazelle.
Hey, that was a heck of a day for you yesterday, though, Porth. Between, you know, Rex Road showing up an hour and 30 minutes late and Stillman having disaster in his house. That was a heck of a day.
I mean, that was an afternoon I will never forget.
I can't wait to talk. We're going to get into this a little bit more at 7 o'clock, have a little fun with our buddy Jared.
Do we have some audio of this?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah, buddy.
We are ready.
We listened to the show yesterday. It was funny.
We're ready to go.
Yeah, so we'll do that at 7 o'clock.
It's about time we made fun of somebody else.
Going up. Joe Rextro, you had another chapter of Tennessee Volunteers' disappointment yesterday. We talked about it a little bit to end the show. The Lady Vols taking on Michigan yesterday, and it did not go well for the Lady Vols. They are out as well in the NCAA tournament, and now both men's and women's basketball done at Tennessee.
Yeah, I would like to know from the Tennessee fan, and I know some fans are more a fan of one program or the other, or just football or whatever, but just – The comparison between, I guess, the feeling about those two basketball programs, because they both, to me, were second weekend teams, I thought, all year. And honestly, I thought Tennessee could have given Baylor a game. We've seen them beat South Carolina. We've seen them almost beat UConn. Michigan really took it to them yesterday. Michigan's good. Michigan's one of those teams. It's like Loyola a little bit. They're an eight, but you know that's a mid-major thing. With Michigan, they had COVID stuff. I mean, one of their best players missed 35 straight days. They are actually really good. So it was a 3-6 game, but like to just get handled like that, very disappointing. And really tough for Renia Davis because she really is one of the great players in program history, and she's never seen the second weekend. So 34 of the first 35 tournaments. Tennessee is the only program that's been to all of them. 34 of the first 35, they got to the Sweet 16 at least. Obviously, we know they won eight championships too. They got many, many Final Fours. And they have not been in the Sweet 16 since 2016.
Yeah.
Like, I got here, and they stopped going to Sweet 16. So I'm starting to blame myself.
Any correlation between that?
Some people on Twitter have suggested that. But it's, you know, it's. I mean, look, it's second year for Kelly Harper. So it's still very early. I think it's been more good than bad for her.
Agreed.
In 2 years. I think there's some things that have gotten better from Holly Warlick to Kelly Harper.
Agreed.
She also, however, now is losing a special All-American type player and has to bring in, you know, her own. Holly Warlick did recruit really well. And so now we see if Kelly Harper can do that. And it's just harder to do that when you don't make it to the second weekend. And Michigan now is going to reap the benefits of being there. I mean, it's all tied together.
It is all tied together, and now lots of questions as you move ahead in the offseason. And I'm interested that question you threw out there of, you know, the women's program and the men's program. Who do you feel better about right now if you're a Tennessee fan as you move forward? I think that would be an interesting discussion. Obviously, a lot of negativity around the men's program right now. Not as much around the women's program. I think Kelly Harper's done a nice job, and you feel good about the trajectory there. But that's an interesting question as they move forward here.
Yeah, and it's totally different standards.
Yeah, totally.
You know, so, I mean, the men never been to the Final Four, so if you can get to one, that would be amazing. I mean, Tennessee Lady Vols fans are, you know, this has been a real splash of cold water the last few years. So the standard there is, okay, get back to winning some national championships. So that's part of it, too, is the expectation level. It's tough for Kelly Harper. It didn't take over the program she played in. She took over a program that's, right now, probably third or fourth in the SEC. And that's the reality of it. But they also have, when you have that history, facilities, when you have a fan base like they have, which is unmatched by most fan bases in women's basketball,
yeah,
you still have things in place to get back there.
A big win last night for the Nashville Predators, 2-0 against the Detroit Red Wings. A shutout for UC Soros, 31 saves. He's come in, and ever since he's come back from injury, I mean, that dude is playing really, really well for this team. We'll get to the incident from last night to begin next segment with the referees and the hot mic. I know that was all over Pred's Twitter last night. We've got some things to say about that coming up. But just strictly from the game itself, Mikhail Granlund back in the lineup, Roman Josi back in the lineup as well. I thought the Predators largely controlled that game from start to finish. You end up 2-0 with a win. You scored a third goal, and then Callie Yarncroke ran into the goaltender and got it taken away. So I guess not everything can be good for Nota goal scorer Callie Yarncroke as of late, but you get the 2-0 win.
Does that mean I get a negative one in the
Preds? I don't know, man. Maybe so. Maybe you should be docked a point. By the way,
I think so too.
Yet another close call last night, kind of, for me on Preds Pick to Click. It was an empty net, and Johansson floated it down the ice. It just died.
It wasn't that close.
It was in the offensive zone. That's close for me in this competition.
Yeah, it's you're
grasping at straws, yeah, here.
You're fumbling for crumbs here.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing here. But still remain shut out on the season in Preds Pick to Click. Have another opportunity tomorrow for that as the Predators take on the Red Wings again. I thought a good performance from the Predators last night. Chicago wins against Florida, so you still are 4 points out of the final playoff spot in the Central Division, but the Predators, they won 4 out of their last 5. They are playing some pretty good hockey right now, and obviously the goaltending has been the story as of late.
Yeah, so what's up? Like, is it like getting hurt somehow helped Soros?
I don't know.
Is it like, you know, it's like when a superhero, you know,
got some rest?
You fall into, you know, you fall into a trash compactor and you get like superpowers or yeah, something, you know, like a Marvel superhero.
Bit by a spider, yeah.
Yeah, right, yeah. He's been unbelievable.
He has a .983 save percentage.
That's
in the
right.
Three games since his injury.
That'll win you some games.
Back. And it's not like it's a 23 save games either, you know?
Yeah. 47, Dawson, yeah. And that's the game they lost. 47 saves. Yeah, he was outstanding. And, you know, it's Detroit. They're not offensively very good at all. They've been shut out two games in a row now, one by Dallas and one by the Predators. And you just look at that team. I mean, they've got almost nothing offensively. But it's still, anytime you can get a shutout in the NHL, you've done something. And Saros, I think especially, you know, Detroit had a late flurry there in the third period. He made some big saves. Detroit had the net empty for almost 4 minutes in the third period there to try to get back into that game.
They should just play that way.
They probably should just play that way and see if they can get anything going offensively. But Saros was outstanding. Josi comes back in. He's got an assist. And Granlund tips in his shot on the power play. I thought the pairings were interesting. You kept Ekholm and Carrier together. Josi playing with Fabro to begin the game. So a bit of a different look with Josi coming back in. But all in all, whatever the Predators have been doing defensively as of late, it's working really well for them right now.
Yeah, it's again, they deserve credit for how they've fought. And this is this is another one of those things. We wondered how they'd handle this ridiculous schedule they had before on the road. But we know how much trouble they've had with the, oh, now you got to get the 2 points against the Red Wings.
Yeah.
And coming out with a stinker, which they've had a couple of those this year against the Red Wings. So taking care of business and finding some level of consistency here.
Well, this is the third two-game set against Detroit this season. They've won the first game each of the three times, and the first two times they lost game two when trying to sweep.
Can you follow it up? That's going to be the question as you move forward here. I mean, Saros, I'm here to tell you, he'll be starting on Thursday. That would be the way to go if you're John Hines and the Nashville Predators. But, yeah, that's going to be the next test for them. You've won 4 out of 5. You're feeling as good about your game as you felt all season long with this group, even with some of the injuries that they still have out there. But right now, playing very well. And, you know, it was interesting. Roman Josi returned to the lineup last night, and I asked him about why they found more consistency in their game throughout the road trip and then carrying that forward last night in their game back home against the Red Wings. Here's what Roman Josi had to say.
The work ethic was great on the road trip. I mean, we played in some tough arenas against some tough teams, and I thought every guy worked extremely hard. Every guy did their job and had an impact on the game. And it was like I said, it was fun to watch our team work that hard, and I think it makes a difference.
So that was a common theme after the game last night. Work ethic was brought up a lot, and I asked, you know, Matthew Olivier about the identity of this team, UC Saros about the identity of this team and whether or not they found it. And they both said yes. And basically, Olivier, the way he described it was, you're just playing a simple game at this point. There's nothing overly complicated about it. You're just trying to be relentless out there every shift. And we've talked about the line with Olivier, Trenin, and Sissons, and how much of a tone setter they've been physically with this group. You get rewarded last night. Olivier scores the goal on a great play by Trenin to kind of go on the wraparound there and set him up in front. But I think that has been emblematic of what they've done. I think you look at the roster, if you're realistic, and you know, like, you can't afford to get into these high-octane, back-and-forth, trading-chances-style games if you're the Predators. They have to play a certain way to win. And they've been doing that as of late.
So it's basically what was discussed going into the season.
Yeah.
Just a matter of
executing.
It's finally getting around to that. And maybe too late, but hey, I mean, they're making it interesting here. They're allowing for discussion of things other than, you know, who's going to be traded.
Right.
Which was, I mean, really kind of getting old for a few weeks there. I mean, it's weeks and weeks that we were talking about that. So, again, good for them. I mean, it's I don't think it can be easy to focus like that and be cohesive like that when things aren't going well, big picture, and all the discussion is happening outside. I know some people can block that out, but everybody can't. So that's I think, you know, credit to the players and to John Hines and his staff, because I thought they were going to go on that road trip and we're not going to go 4-3-1.
No.
And they did. Now they're taking care of this business. And now, you know, if they get the second one in this, I mean, I think you can call them a hot team. What are they? They're 5-4-1 in their last 10, which isn't exactly setting the world on fire, but giving them at least a chance to look at something in front of them and chase it.
So when we come back, we will get into the news of the day from last night that's making the rounds not only here in Nashville but league-wide as well. A moment in the game last night that some NHL officials probably going to regret as they move forward here. We'll discuss that when we come back. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. How'd you like to watch the Preds game in style? If you do, make sure you're tuning in later on in the show as we reveal a keyword for you to text into the game line at 615-737-1025 for your chance to win the T-Mobile Hockey Homegate. It's your chance to watch a weekend Preds game with a Dos Equis prize pack, which includes a case of beer, dessert from Nothing But Cakes, a T-Mobile prize pack, and food provided by 312 Pizza Company in Germantown. You must be 21 or older to enter, and we'll have that opportunity coming up for you a little bit later here in the show. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning and streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well. Already seen some participation there today on those platforms.
See, so right now, you guys tweeted this, so I'm looking at it live. It's really weird to look at myself, 10 seconds later. It's like, God, I look stupid doing that 10 seconds ago.
Well, maybe you ought to adjust yourself a little bit.
But now, okay, well, I
don't know what.
What can I do? I'm kind of locked into how I look,
Look, I think you look great. I've told
the
you
the hair's
that.
Looking better
every
than
morning
it did
since
yesterday.
We've started to do the show. I've told you that.
Well, I don't have
positive reinforcement.
I think maybe I should go back to the hat.
Maybe so.
That I had to wear yesterday.
That was good. That was good. Joe, the news of the day yesterday coming out of the Predators game, as we said, a big 2-0 win for the Nashville Predators, but that was not getting most of the attention on social media last night. An incident in the game involving the officials and Kelly Sutherland and Tim Peel, the officials in the game last night for the Red Wings and the Predators. And a hot mic incident took place as the television broadcast was going to break after a penalty had been called on the Nashville Predators. And it was basically, and I'm not going to obviously say the entire thing, but basically the gist of the comment was, quote, oh, we have the comment. Okay, Ryan Porth, let's play those comments made on the hot mic. But while the television broadcast was going to break last night in the game.
It wasn't much, but I wanted to get a penalty against Nashville early in the.
So that cut out immediately after that and went to break. But you hear the officials there saying, quote, it wasn't much, but I wanted to get a expletive
bleep
penalty against Nashville early in the, and then the broadcast cuts out. So as you can imagine.
And the other official like, oh, I know.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So as you can imagine, that made its rounds on social media last night. Predators fans were furious, and eventually, league-wide, this caught a lot of attention. Greg Wyshynski was talking about it. Elliot Friedman was talking about it at some point last night. And we'll get into the specifics of that coming up here in just a few minutes. But I know this made a lot of Predators fans mad, talking about how this is a bad look for the NHL, a bad look for the league, how there's not the integrity of the game. When you saw this, what was your reaction to it? And I want to get yours first, and then I'll give you mine as somebody who has been around hockey for a very long time at this point. What was your reaction when you saw this from the officiating crew last night?
Well, I'm not going to say that I was clutching pearls at this. Like, I was like, basically my reaction was idiots,
Yeah.
Also, my reaction is, if you don't think these discussions happen a lot, then you're naive. I think they happen among officials in this sport and in other sports. I'm not shocked by it. I'm glad that, frankly, I'm glad it got caught. And there will be some repercussions for this, but I don't think it's going to change anything. This is, look, and I'm assuming now I have to, I have to assume some things here, but it sounds like it was, they thought what Nashville was being a little too physical or was getting too chippy or whatever. And sometimes you call penalties to try to stem that.
Yeah. Right?
You call a penalty, but I don't blame any fan for being outraged. Like, wait, you're supposed to just call penalties if it's an actual penalty, but that's just not how it works in the real world. So, it's not good, but it's not shocking to me.
It wasn't shocking to me. Look, how many times have we, and we've not heard hot mics like this very often, obviously, but how many times have we been watching a game, whether it's in the NHL or the NFL, the NBA, whatever, and you see either a bad call go the wrong way against a team to begin the game, and all of a sudden and you see this all the time in the NHL. There's a call that goes against the team earlier in the game that they don't like, and then 5 minutes later, you're all of a sudden in the box of a makeup call. Now, we think it's a makeup call. We assume it's a makeup call. We've never had, you know, hot mic evidence to go with it. But to your point, this thing happens in the world of sports. I don't like it. I don't think it's good. I'm of the opinion, if you're the official, just officiate the game the way that it's supposed to be officiated. Don't worry about all that crap. But there is a human element to officiating that's always been there. I think hockey is a little bit different because you're going at such a high speed. And to your point, when the physicality, when there's a trend that it's going that way to begin the game and there's a little bit of chippiness there, what you don't want to have happen if you're an official is line brawls every other shift, which is way less of a problem in today's NHL than it used to be. But you want to maintain some control of the game, so maybe you take more of a hard line stance earlier. Again, there's a human element to this. If they're consistent with it, that's one thing. But when you just make things up out there sometimes, that's going to rub people the wrong way. And this is not a good look for the NHL, and they're going to take a look into this. And, you know, Elliot Friedman talked about that last night. Adam Vingan reached out for comment to the NHL. Bill Daly came back and said they're going to take a look at it. So I'm not sure exactly what's going to come from this from the league, but I'm not surprised by it. I have kind of known this happens for a long time in the NHL and in the NBA and in the NFL as well. But I can understand why Predators fans were irate about this last night.
Yeah, it'd be
it's all I talked about.
Yeah, well, it'd be great in a perfect world if it was just like you said, call everything, you know, correctly, and just that's it. Don't do it in the context of what's going on. But I mean, honestly, I mean, I think sometimes you do need to get control of games. And if the comment was, we got to get control of this, or they're out of control, or whatever, then fine. It's just like when you say, it wasn't much. I just wanted to call a penalty on them. I get why people are upset about that. Going way back, so the Detroit Lions, Al Bubba Baker, great player for the Lions. The Silver Rush defense.
Yes.
Back when I loved the Lions. At one point, an official in the Silver Dome got caught in a hot mic, and he was like, we got to get his bleep out of this game.
Yeah.
Apparently, he was, you know, back then you could just bludgeon quarterbacks, and no one could do anything about it, apparently. And, like, so the whole, like 80,000 people, I mean, that guy must have had to have an armored car out of town. So, I mean, stuff like that. And so they have these discussions, right? They have these discussions like, we got to control this, or and look, think about basketball. You talk about makeup calls. Like, how many times you watch in basketball, it's like 6-1 fouls, and one possession, it'll be like three straight handshakes.
Yeah. Bleep, bleep, all of a sudden, they're getting close to even.
All right, now it's
yeah.
close to even, and yeah. now we can just keep playing.
Yeah.
Dude, this stuff happens all the time. And it's a little different, but it reminds me a little bit of the whole thing with Dan Walken, if you remember the Tennessee thing.
Oh, yeah.
So Dan Walken and his text with John Curry. And I know I'm taking this a little bit to a different place, but people were shocked at this idea of, like, you know, Dan Walken broke the story of Greg Schiano being hired and this discussion of, you know, you got to help me out with this from Curry. It's like, let's get some other texts of other newsbreakers
yeah.
in sports. And what do you suppose is said? It's just yeah. like, here, have the story. Yay. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, like there's give and take. That's different than this. But what I'm saying is, like, in the conversations between people doing these jobs, I think a conversation like that happens all the time.
And this was brought up in the postgame last night with John Hines in his press conference. Our own Jared Stillman asked John Hines about this incident. Here was what Predators head coach John Hines had to say.
How do you feel as a coach hearing that, you know, that hot mic interaction between refs, that how your game was officiated, given that the official sentiment seemed to somewhat impinge on the integrity of actually calling the game?
Yeah, you know, I think it's obviously the situation is what it is, Jared. And, you know, I think from our perspective, it probably doesn't matter how I feel about it in general, but, you know, the referees are employees of the league. And I think it's, you know, rather than me comment it, I think that, you know, it's an issue that I think the league will have to take care of.
So that was Hines' response to Jared's question. He was asked again about it in kind of a long-winded question by Ken Campbell about the integrity of the league and how this goes about affecting that. Here's what Predators head coach John Hines had to say.
You know, the big thing is this, is that you always want to have things that are going to be fair for your players and for your team. But the big thing, too, is I think one of the big reasons, too, why we've been able to have some success here. I think if you look at what our team's gone through as of late, whether it's injuries, guys in and out of the lineup, 16-day road trip, you know, longest one in franchise history, a gauntlet of a schedule. There's been no excuses. And one of the things we talk about is we, you know, if that happens in the game, you know, our job as the players and coaches in those situations is we've got to find a way to kill the penalty and only control what we can control. And, you know, I think that's also been a big reason why we've been able to get some wins and get ourselves right in the mix here, because it's always either been next man up. And when we're involved in the games as the coaches and players, you know, you're not so much worried about what's going on in those situations. It's we got to be able to kill the penalty. We got to be ready to play. And that's what I really liked about our team's reaction to that situation.
So that was John Hines kind of taking the high road there about the situation with the officials last night. Now, there's not much he can say in that part of it there, but kind of going the high road of, yeah, when things happen like that, you just got to worry about killing penalty, which the Predators did, and they went 2-0. So at the end of the day, no harm done to them on the scoreboard, but this is not going to be something that just goes away today. This is going to be a story for the next few days here in the NHL.
I really would have preferred John Hines to say, the league is fixed and the refs are cheaters. Take a fine and give us all what we want.
Yes.
Come on, John. Also, great. Jared used the word impinge in his question.
That was pretty good.
Impinge. Jared. Big time. Yeah, I'm not surprised Hines sidestepped that. Listen, this is going to be a big story. We're going to talk about it, and I don't think there's going to be discipline. I don't know. Do you think so?
I don't think so.
I think there'll be statement about it. I am much more concerned about officials on the take in all sports than I am about officials having conversations like this and
right.
Doing, you know, calling a cheap penalty just to get a control of a team or send a message or whatever. That's just me. But they look like idiots.
Oh, yeah. It's a bad look. And, I mean, let's be honest here, too. It's Tim Peel. So, like, you know his name. Fans around the league know Tim Peel. And anytime he's involved in something like this, he's not a very popular official anyway. That was kind of the main reaction that I saw nationally. Like, oh, yeah, it's Tim Peel, of course. It's cool. Yeah, it's Tim Peel.
Wasn't Tim Peel the one with the hot mic with James Neal?
Yeah, it was. A lot of hot mics, but he probably ought to know how to learn how to turn the daggum mic off.
Gosh, maybe he'd be more well-liked if he could work his mic.
Maybe so.
Maybe I would.
That was on purpose, by the way.
Jeez. All right. When we come back, we'll continue to talk about the Nashville Predators, taking your reaction on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Some comments made by General Manager David Poile yesterday on Darren Donick and Chase that caused quite a stir on Preds Twitter. We'll discuss those next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, the illustrious Ryan Porth are with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well. Discussing the Nashville Predators, taking your reaction on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Got a texture that says, the fact that it was Tim Peel is the least shocking part of this whole thing. And that kind of was the general reaction on Twitter last night.
We enjoyed the video of Tim Peel and James Neal.
Yeah, the old
during the break.
Yeah, the Tim
we can't
Peel
play
James
that
Neal
one.
Hot mic, that is not going to be able to be played here on the air. But that was, I don't know, 2015, 2016, somewhere in that neighborhood. Road game at Boston.
I believe I was on the board sitting in this very seat when that happened. And when that happens on TV, it also happens on radio.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
Basically told James Neal to just get in the box. In a strong way.
So did you dump it?
That was back when we did not operate Preds games with a dump.
Yeah.
And
so it was...
And then the delay, it's not like you're going to get a bleep in.
Correct.
So, there you go. It was just for all to hear and enjoy.
Tim Peel, got to learn how to turn the microphone off.
I believe it was Kelly Yarn... Croak. I tried to remember who Yarn Rex. What was it?
Rex Croak.
Rex Croak. Yes, Kelly Rex.
Although
Croak.
Yarn Rex is pretty good too.
Rex Croak, who caused us to go into a 20-second delay for all Preds games.
Yes, I believe so.
During a second intermission interview with Darren McFarland.
I believe you're correct in that assessment. So,
wait, I want to hear more about this real quick.
More things that we cannot say
more
on the air.
More things that we cannot say on the
okay,
air.
Okay, we'll talk about that during the next break. Okay.
There you go. So, a common theme in the NHL. There's some language that gets used sometime. So that was one stir on Pred's Twitter yesterday. There was another stir on Pred's Twitter yesterday caused by Nashville Predators general manager David Poile. Now, he has a weekly visit with Darren Donick and Chase every Tuesday at 11:15. And David Poile yesterday joined the show, talked about the way the team has been playing as of late, and kind of what the outlook is here moving forward for the group as they continue to win games and continue to move forward. Here's what Nashville Predators general manager David Poile had to say.
All in all, I think we have to be satisfied for what the players, how we played, and the number of points we got. And now we're in a really interesting position here. I believe we have 24 or 25 games left. I know 16 of those games are against the four teams that are not in the playoffs right now, or excuse me, like one like Chicago would be in the playoffs. So we, in a lot of ways, I guess the cliche is that we kind of control our own destiny.
So David Poile talking about controlling their own destiny and being in an interesting position right now if you're the Predators heading into the stretch here. And Predators fans on Twitter took that to mean apparently that they're not doing anything at the trade deadline. They're not trading anybody. They're just going to ride it out and go for it. Now, I listened to the entire interview. I don't know really how you could listen to the interview and just think that David Poile is coming out there and saying they're not trading anyone. He was kind of about as down the middle as you could be throughout that interview, which you would expect at this time of the year from a general manager in the National Hockey League. Now, I understand Predators fans maybe thinking that, you know, controlling your own destiny means that he's just going to let it ride. And maybe he will. I don't know. But I don't really know what you want David Poile to say in that situation. Oh, by the way, we're still trading everyone. Yeah. Like, he's not going to come out and say that.
I've chosen the three players I'm going to trade. I'm not going to tell you their names, right, but I'll give you their initials.
Right.
I mean, it's come on. What GMs, before they do things, tell people they're going to do things?
Yeah.
David, yeah. You know, David Poile does a lot of interviews, and I think he's a lot more probably forthcoming than a lot of GMs. I think he's certainly more forthcoming when it comes to talking about players, you know, performance, things like that.
Agreed.
Like during the season.
Yep.
But I don't know of him or of any GM saying, guys, hey, be on your phones, and you might want to start Googling P.K. Subban, okay? Just telling you.
No reason.
Yeah, just, you know. And if you like Shea Weber, you know, maybe send him a nice text or something.
Yes.
I mean, you know, come on.
It just doesn't happen. And again, that made the round yesterday. A lot of Predators fans, they still want to see the team sell at the deadline. They still want to see you try to build towards the future here and begin the rebuild. And maybe that still happens with the Nashville Predators. I don't know what they're going to do at the trade deadline. We talked about the Ryan Ellis, Matthias Ekholm part of this yesterday in that discussion. And we'll get into that a little bit more coming up here in the show later on. But, I mean, people were freaking out after that interview yesterday. I almost couldn't believe it. Then I realized it was Twitter, so I could believe it yesterday that people were freaking out. But this is, to me, an instance of people seeing a quote that was tweeted out and just running with it and having absolutely zero context of what was going on there.
Yeah, and it's also, I think there's already probably a little bit of bracing for the Preds fans, especially the ones who've been hate-watching, who just like, blow it up. This has got to be completely transformed. So now the team does well. People are talking about it. Hey, they're not far away. And now you get this quote, and you can add it up in your head like, oh my gosh, they're not going to do anything.
Yeah.
But that's a mistake. You shouldn't make that mistake.
I agree. So, again, David Poile is very calculated in what he does. And it was funny because while he was doing this interview, the 31 Thoughts piece from Elliot Friedman came out yesterday, like the written form of it. And it was talking about kind of going into a little bit more detail about Ekholm and Ellis and how David Poile, he knows what the options are on the table and knows roughly what the offers are going to be as they roll in here for Ekholm or Ellis or whoever over the next few weeks here. And it's about just deciding what to do at this point. So it was kind of interesting, the contrast of you read Elliott's article, and it still sounds like the Predators could be in sell mode. And then you hear David Poyle's comments and watch Predators Twitter, and Predators Twitter is convinced that nothing's going to happen. You had that going on at the exact same time yesterday. Yeah. It was great.
So Preds Twitter didn't bother to check.
Didn't bother to check that. That's for sure.
But Preds Twitter is way better than Preds Facebook, right?
Yeah, that's what I hear.
Like Preds Facebook still think they have like players from 2000, like Mike Fisher still the captain
Mike
and stuff.
Still going
like,
out there. Yes,
they're like complaining about Mike Ribeiro and stuff still. Yeah,
that's right. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Bob from Antioch, who wants to weigh in. Bob, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road.
Good morning, guys. I really like the young players that have had to fill in, the forwards and the defensemen. I wanted to ask you guys, this is following what you were just talking about. In your opinion, do you think that the Predators should still go ahead and try to make some changes, because my fear, to tell you the truth, is that this might almost be, I'm not going to say fool's gold, but, you know, if they get that last playoff spot, they have to play probably, you know, a powerhouse team in the first round. And I just think they need to make some changes, but I'd like to know how you guys feel about that. If they're either in the last playoff spot or right on the cusp, what do you think?
Hey, thanks for the call, Bob. We appreciate it. I mean, that's a great question, and I think that's the question going through a lot of Predators fans' minds right now. I said this yesterday here on the show. My opinion has not changed. I would still be a seller as you approach this deadline. Now, can you be a seller and still try to go win and make the playoffs with your young pieces? Heck yeah, you can, and you see teams try to do that all the time. Now, normally it's not successful, and that's not how it ends up working out. But right now, to Bob's point, the young guys are playing really well. Like Alex Carrier, to me, he's going to be in this lineup as they move forward, even when people are healthy. We saw Jeremy Davies come out last night with Roman Josi coming back in. But there are some young pieces that I think you feel good about. So if you feel like you're an actual contender going into the playoffs, then this conversation changes. To Bob's point, right now if you get the four spot, your grand prize is probably going to be the Tampa Bay Lightning waiting on you at that point. So my opinion on what they should do at the deadline has not changed, but that doesn't mean that you can't still try to win with these young pieces. I just think, to Bob's point, it could be a mistake to just stand pat and do nothing.
Look, the best case scenario is that you get the fourth spot and you get destroyed by Tampa Bay right away. Am I right?
That's what we thought about Chicago, too, a few years ago, but yes, you're probably right.
Yeah, that's true. Now, hey, you win that series and it all opens up for you.
It does.
Look, you're not asking these players or coaches to tank. They're here to win. And so if those young guys and the veterans you have can win and make it happen and get in the playoffs, that's great. And I haven't changed at all what I think they need to do. I mean, the point is to try to go win a Stanley Cup, and this team's not built to do that right now. But there's some promising pieces, and now you got to make the right choices and get the right things back. But I don't see how – even standing pat makes sense to me right now.
So in response to Bob's call, what would cause Preds fans to think that this isn't fool's gold? And I bring that up because before the trade deadline, their schedule remains pretty soft. I mean, they have Detroit, then they play Chicago, who's reeling right now, even though they beat Florida last night. They play Dallas next week here at home. Dallas has been struggling for the last few weeks. Then you play Detroit again. You play Chicago again. Like, they have the potential here to continue playing well before the trade deadline and having themselves squarely in the playoff mix by the time April 12th rolls around. Because Chicago has been reeling. Dallas has been reeling. I mean, that fourth spot is there for the taking for anybody.
Okay, but when you're asking about fool's gold, I mean, I don't think that the possibility of getting the fourth spot is fool's gold, but your case right now is that they're playing crappy teams. I mean, that's not a compelling case to change how you feel about them.
That's the point I'm making. Okay. Like, you're going to have to make a decision before April 12th, but it's not like you're going to have the opportunity to go on another big run against Carolina, Florida, and Tampa and prove yourself. You're going to have to make a determination of whether this team could do anything in the playoffs by what they're doing against Detroit, Chicago, and Dallas.
To me, the bottom line comes down to, if you're David Poyle and the Predators, do you feel like you're a legitimate threat to win the Cup? If you do, then you roll with it. I don't know how you could right now based on the way this season has gone. So to me, Joe, if you don't feel like you're a legitimate threat to win the cup, what good does it do to go into playoffs and just get bounced and then, you know, you lose Mikael Granlund for nothing, you lose Eric Haller for nothing. Like, you've got all these pieces that are out there and available. I understand that you're tempted right now, maybe if you're a Predators fan, to just let it ride. But if you go out in the first round, that's not worth it to me.
Not at all. And I hear what you're saying now, Porth, but it's still those other teams you're still coming back around to. You get to play Tampa. So that's your – so that's the team.
So I guess what I'm getting at is if they go in these next eight games 6-2, 6-1 right. and 1, whatever – like, is that still not going to be enough to prove to convince Preds fans that this isn't fool's gold? Like, at what is the line that they have to cross to prove that they that what they're doing right now isn't fool's gold?
Well, so I think this team, and it feels so far away now, but I think that, like you just said, the question is, are you fool's gold of being a contender? Now, I understand in this league, we've seen teams get in the playoffs, and they don't look like a contender, and then all of a sudden they do at the end of the playoffs. But I don't think there's anything that says that this team really has a run in it in the postseason based on what we've seen of this team. I also think this team could do the right thing and make some of those deals and bolster the future and still make it. That's possible. But that's, to me, what it has to be. It has to be, look, we have to do what we have to do for the future. Because right now it's not good enough.
Yeah.
And hey, go win, get in the playoffs. That's great, and do what you can do, and shut everyone up. But I don't think this should, and I don't think this will influence David Poile on that.
When we come back, speaking of fan outrage, Joe Rexroad was responsible for some yesterday on Twitter as well. React to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, taking you through this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well. We'll have the roast of Jared Stillman coming up at 7 o'clock with his handling of the fire alarm incident yesterday. Looking forward to that coming up here to begin the next hour. Right now, talking fan outrage on Twitter. Joe Rex Road responsible for some of that yesterday. On theathletic.com, we talked about your piece yesterday here on the show, coming out at the, and looking at the wide receiver depth that the Titans have. You bring in Josh Reynolds, and you've talked about how the Titans really like Nick Westbrook-Ikhina and think he could be a piece that they could use as they move forward here. And people saw that article on theathletic.com, and man, they were freaking out about some Nick Westbrook-Ikhina. Way to go, Rex Rowe, just firing up Titans fans yesterday.
Yeah, and some... probably most, I hope, came away understanding what I was saying. But you know what? Listen, if people don't understand and they take it wrong, I got to look at myself. I don't, and I will say, and even like, you know, John Glennon texted me and was like, basically like, are you drunk? Like, well, did you read it or not? But I will say that, I mean, look, I wrote this. A source said the Titans were never into the top guys in the market, and here's why. Nick Westbrook-Ikhina. And then I don't really explain it until a couple graphs later. So, I mean, really, I think I deserve some blame for this.
That's a good headline.
Yeah, what's the headline? Titans depth chart plus what I'm hearing on the plan for receivers.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I probably should have been more clear. So I apologize to Titans fans who freaked out. It is all in there that, I mean, this guy I think has a chance to be the four, okay? That's still way overachieving what I thought of him when I watched him in camp last year, and I felt bad for him. Like, God, the poor guy can't catch the ball.
Essential to play wide receiver.
It is important. But obviously, you know, he stuck largely because of special teams. He progressed last year. They liked what they saw from him. He got on the field some. And basically, I would kind of look at him as sort of taking Khalif Raymond's place, although it's a different kind of player. And maybe the hope is that he could be something like Tajay Sharp, a little bit more like that. He's a bigger, more physical guy. He runs well. He's not a burner. He's not as fast as Raymond. He brings something to the table. So the point being that that they did they weren't as urgent in the free agent market. This is also because of the entire offense. And actually, Jared and I got into an argument on this yesterday because Jared thinks that Reynolds is like absolutely the two, and I'm like, well, I think he's the three. I think the two needs to be drafted. Now, maybe he starts as the two.
Sure.
Like, you know, A.J. Brown wasn't immediately out there getting 10 targets a game as a rookie. But I think Reynolds is a three, a good three, I think.
I agree.
Think he could be. And again, Westbrook and Cannon, the point is the depth was looking desperate in that room. So now you sign Reynolds, and if you factor in that they like Westbrook Akina as a back end of the room guy, that's all I was saying, that helps explain why maybe they feel like, okay, one draft pick could solve this. Okay, they also have, and again, I mentioned in the story as well, Marcus Johnson does have the speed that kind of maybe could replace Raymond. Chester Rogers, another guy in there. I think the back end of the room may not be as alarming or, you know, desperate as you may have thought. The top end of the room still needs to be addressed, and I never was saying that he is.
I think that's the way some people took it. It's like, oh, Nick Westbrook Akina is going to be the two, huh? How's that going?
Yeah.
Calm down, Twitter.
Yeah, that was never the case. So I'm sorry. I'm sorry for that. For those of you who read it and got it, I appreciate you. Thank you for your kind words on Twitter. Many
You're
kind
welcome.
Words. Yes, so thank you. You know, Mike Herndon from Broadway was like, yeah, I got it. You know, I know what you're saying. Like, the depth may not be as bad because this guy is actually someone they think could do some things for them. And look, this also speaks to Corey Davis and why they didn't sign him.
Right.
And it's basically, and this is where Jared and I agree, Derrick Henry, A.J. Brown, great season for Corey Davis. He had good chemistry with Tannehill, and he got paid. And he's an example of a guy who worked hard and earned it, but also had a very good situation. I think a lot of receivers would like that situation.
I think they would, too. And now we'll see. I agree with you. Like, I think the number two, that answer needs to come in the draft, and maybe it's not game one where you see that happen, but as the season develops, you're hoping that the draft pick you have at wide receiver, whether that's first round, second round, wherever, comes in and can be the number two pretty quickly in this offense. By the way, did you see your boy Rondale Moore yesterday with a 42.5-inch vertical? Pretty good.
Yes. I tweeted, hashtag Titans. That's the guy. Get Rondale Moore. You don't have to go too high for him. You get your corner first. You get Rondale Moore in the second round.
Retro's pumped up about Rondale Moore.
I think he's going to be awesome. I think he's going to be dynamic in this league.
I'd be stoked.
Yeah.
If they drafted Rondale Moore in the second round, sign me up.
Speed, strength, shiftiness, put him in the slot, do a lot of different things with him.
I know he's only like 5'9", but apparently can jump out of the gym, too.
Yeah, if you got a 42.5-inch vertical, you're above the rim, man.
That's right. Absolutely. When we come back, speaking of Jared Stillman, who you brought up here in this segment, it is time for the roast of Jared Stillman. Coming up to begin the 7 o'clock hour, it was pretty hilarious yesterday on his program. Some fire alarm difficulty. We'll react to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.